Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Sewing Out Loud.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
And I'm ZD Donahue.
And today we're podcasting from my kitchen. You know, all of you wonderful listeners out there who are like, I have to sew at my kitchen table, or I have to do this or whatever. And, you know, we're all like, ZD will be like, I used to have to do that. And like, right. I grew up with like a sewing studio.
Yeah.
But now, due to COVID.
Yeah. I don't understand like why we had a studio and now it's like not ours anymore.
Yes, exactly. So since my, we're very grateful. My husband has been teaching from home, but it's like, now.
But he has our studio. Yeah,
since I have the kids, like I wanted to trace a pattern, and I'm like, I'm gonna have to bring it down here on my kitchen counter.
Right.
And I'm like, all of the podcast listeners are probably like, yeah, Mal, you know, this is what 90% of people have to do. You know, not everybody has a big cutting table. So anyway, I'm here.
Not everyone has, you know, like 400 square feet dedicated to their hobby.
Yes, yeah.
Right.
And I'm like, this is my livelihood. Why am I down here? Why?
Anyway.
Ha, ha, ha. Okay. Just a little funny there. But we are in my kitchen.
Would you like
so,
some cheese with your wine?
Yeah, I would. We can have cheese and wine because we're in my kitchen.
That's right.
And you know what else is in my kitchen?
Your mixer.
My KitchenAid mixer.
And your frother. I saw a frother over there.
Okay, anyway. Milk frothers are so cool. You know, the big advice lately, I feel like for the past 5-10 years in kitchen land is like, don't have one-use things. You
right.
know, like have multi. Don't buy like one little thing that's used for you
right.
know a single purpose tool, right? And I'm like, oh, milk frothers, kind of a single purpose tool, but I've used it to mix up all sorts of stuff.
It's also not very big.
But like it's like an electric whisk.
Yeah,
I think I could make mayonnaise with it.
Something like a hot dog cooker.
Yeah, I'm sure you could do
now,
something cool
if
with
you
that, though.
Really like hot dogs,
right.
And that cooks it a certain way, and you like that, then go for it.
Right.
But like.
I don't know. I'm trying to think of something else.
I cook hot dogs outside on a fire. That's how I have hot dogs.
Every time you have a hot dog,
just
you go
about,
out and start a fire.
Unless it's like at a ball game. I don't make like hot dogs at home.
We will eat hot dogs occasionally.
Oh, really?
With
yeah.
The kids.
See,
yeah.
I think they're always
also,
like on the barbecue pit or over a like a fire.
I taught Derek how to make dog treats where you like microwave the
hot dog,
and I love
those.
I'm a dog.
Yeah.
I like the dehydrated
well, yeah,
hot dogs.
Because they're like just little salty, good. They're like jerky.
If you get the right kind, they kind of melt in your mouth.
Yeah.
You know? Okay. So milk frother's cool. My mixer's in here. And we're going to talk about the mixer today because it's about maintenance. It's about metal on metal gears. It's about lubrication. And I bet a lot of you have KitchenAid mixers. I feel like this is an audience that crosses over. Like people who sew and people who may have a mixer.
It seems like it could be a thing. Like cook or garden, you know, like are kind of all those things. It's kind of funny.
I'm just saying I am justifying this to myself because I think you all might be interested. And actually, one of the reasons I was inspired to do what we're going to talk about is from a community member, Sandy. She's one of our Canadian friends.
She does some hot cooking, that's for sure.
Okay, so we'll come back to Sandy.
Right.
Okay, so why I'm talking about this today, I was using my mixer. I'm a big baker, like normally, even before the pandemic.
Right. Yes, you didn't have to like find baking as something to do. You were already doing
it. No, and I did kind of turn it up a few notches. Have definitely been cooking to deal with pandemic-related anxiety.
Uh-huh.
In fact, Derek, like, complained about how much food was in the house at one point. And I was like,
no. actually, I've been doing that, and so is your sister. Like,
he was like, hey.
Lots of food, I'm not going anyplace. I have extra time.
But I kept, like, cooking things, you know.
Yeah.
And he's like, we have a lot of food. And I was like, are you complaining about how much food
I
have cooked?
Exactly.
Cease and desist. Okay, so Big Baker, you bought us this mixer for our wedding.
I did?
Yes.
Okay.
So I've been married for 9 years this May.
Oh, my gosh.
So it's a, you know, 8 or 9 year old mixer. And I don't, you know, we didn't use it a ton. I think maybe early in our marriage, but I do use it a lot to like knead bread dough. When I figured out that we could knead the bread dough with it, I'm like, this is awesome. It's so much faster. Saves your hands. I will make like 4 loaves of bread at a time.
Right.
So it's certainly something I'm willing to like put in the mixer's wheelhouse there. You know, I don't have to knead all my bread by hand. I'm not like that kind of purist or something like that. So I was making a lot
of
bread.
We're not very much purist about anything, if you had noticed.
We have our, we're snobs about some things. Maybe purist
is not the right word. Purist is not the right word for us. Snob?
Yes.
Arrogant? Maybe. Purist? No.
So I was making brioche is what I was making when I noticed an issue with the mixer.
Was it a
no, it was a
noise. Missing a gear.
So those of you who don't know about brioche dough, it is super duper duper full of butter. I should have gotten the cookbook down that I used for the brioche recipe, because it's not just like a loaf of brioche. You're supposed to put it in this like 16-inch long pan.
Oh, really?
It's like, so it must be, you know, really, maybe in reality, a double batch of brioche.
Right.
It uses so much butter, you have to stop, scrape the mixer. It's a heavy, 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 heavy dough.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I bring this up because I'm like, well, maybe it's just hesitating because there's like 5 pounds of butter.
It's not used to this heavy work.
Yeah, because there's 5 pounds of butter in the, you know, mixing bowl here. But then, and so I was listening.
Right, right, right.
We do that with our
sewing
machines,
right? We do that with
a
sewing machine. People used to like freak out because we'd have a class or something, and they'd hear Mallory or me or both of us at the same time go, stop.
Like from all the way across.
Yeah.
The
room. And we go, and they go, oh, and we go, you're not in your upper thread loop.
Right.
We would know by the sound what was, you know, what was happening.
Yeah. So I was listening, heard the hesitation. So I took out the dough. And I heard, I ran it and still heard the noise when there was nothing in there. And I was like, okay, I have a problem.
Don't have a smooth motor.
And so Derek was like, well, we've had it for 8 or 9 years.
Does
you know?
He know how much it costs?
Well, yeah. And I was like, so I did find one on, like, this was during the holidays when this all happened. So there were some sales. But it's a $400, $500, $600 mixer.
Yes, it is.
You know, it's the professional. There are different, like, levels of mixers. And you got
it's like the highest home model.
I think it is.
Yeah, it is.
I really do.
Yeah.
Which, it always bugs me that on the Great British Bake Off, they give them the smaller ones.
The smaller one.
I'm like, come on. Give them the big one. Like, and they're always... The bowl snaps on differently.
Right. It's different. Yeah.
Okay. So it's more secure on mine.
Yes.
Okay. And so people are always like breaking their glass bowls on that show.
Yeah.
And it's terrifying. You know, and then they have to throw their whole cake away or whatever. Or cutting their hand up because their bowl breaks. Anyway, anywho, I wish, just like I wish everyone could have top of the line, you know, sewing machine on those fashion shows. I wish that they had the nicer mixers. So still have this hesitation. And Derek's like, well, we've had it for 8 years. And I'm like, I'm going to YouTube this.
Yeah.
You know? Now, he didn't say, okay, let's go buy a new one. But I don't know. Maybe it crossed his mind. So I YouTubed it, and I came up with a lot of people, a lot of wonderful videos from people saying, you need to re-grease your mixer.
Uh-huh.
Periodically.
I was going to say similar to taking care of a sewing machine.
That's
when somebody
goes,
you mean once a year? Depends on the usage or the non-usage. So if you don't use something, you still need to oil and grease it.
Yeah.
Especially because you have not moved that grease around on, you know, the cogs.
Till we talk about the grease.
Right.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Yes. You're totally right.
Right.
So what I see here, looking at these videos, you know, how to take the mixer apart. Oh, back up. The reason I knew that I should YouTube this is because it must be 3 or 4 years ago. Sandy posted.
Did she do something?
She posted a picture on Instagram saying, my mixer was acting up and my husband is going to fix it. And they have this joke. I think her husband is like an engineer. And they have a hashtag that's, of course, Trev can. Okay. And his name's Trevor, you know. So I was like, if Trev can, maybe Mal can, you know? And so I was like, I'm inspired. I think it's doable.
Right.
I will look into it. Okay, you can take the mixer apart. There's just a few screws. Not a huge deal. Getting, like, the casing off, okay? And then here's where it gets really fun. So on these videos about re-greasing the mixer, I'll just get into it here. There is a housing. So when you open up the mixer, you see no oil. You see no grease.
Right.
Like on a sewing machine, there's some where like you take off like the – I mean, you can see a little bit of oil, you know, kind of on one layer. But all of the greasy gears are pretty much contained in this metal housing within the mixer. So I had to take the screws off of that, open it up, just lift off the top of this, you know, casing. And there was a little like – plastic kind of gasket there, and oh my god,
it's probably nylon, but go ahead.
It's full, yes, I think you're right, it's full of this black gummy heavy grease. Okay,
so gummy would be the word that I would worry about.
It's
sticky and stiff.
It should be. Actually, this is into this. Yes, here is it should be gummy.
It wasn't smooth and
well. Here, let me finish. So it was gummy and it was black. And a lot of people were like, oh, this is black. That's not good because the replacement grease I got is white. So maybe this grease got like burned up over the years. But there is black grease and white grease. So anyway, I don't think that necessarily the color was bad. But what you do is you have to remove all the grease. So you need to probably not do this when you have your toddler and your preschool, you know, your kindergartner just hanging out. But I did. So I'm scraping all this out. You use disposable things. I was using like a bamboo skewer. I was putting it on cardboard. Just, you know, you're just scraping and scraping and scraping. Right. Or like an old butter knife would work. And so you're supposed to just clean it all out. And if everything looks good... And you clean
you
it all
de-grease.
Up.
Grease.
You just re-grease.
Right.
Put it all back together. Okay. But I'm like, I think I see the problem here. So there are, I'm probably going to get this wrong. There are a few gears on the KitchenAid, and one of them runs like the attachment feature.
Uh-huh.
So if you are somebody who's like using it as a meat grinder, that's a gear that could be messed up for you. Mine was just the gear that like runs the mixer part, like where you put the dough hook and the whisk, you know, and there's a worm gear, which is like a long gear, which is a term I learned. I didn't know that before. And that all looked fine, but I could see on my main gear that it actually had like a concave spot where it was not going to be catching.
So it was misshapen?
Yeah. Okay. No, it had been worn away, okay? And the other thing I noticed as I was scraping out all this grease is some of it was very glittery.
Uh-huh.
Because there were
metal shavings. Little shards of metal,
okay.
So that's what happens.
What happens
in a transmission in a car.
Also, when you have metal on metal gears.
Absolutely.
So
tell me why metal gears are so great.
Right. Okay. This is what I want to bring up here. Metal on metal gears, and this metal on metal gear in my KitchenAid mixer, and I replaced it with a metal gear, okay?
Right.
It did wear out over time.
That's right, because there's friction. Even if there's grease or oil or lubricant, there's friction.
A butt ton of grease. Yeah, there's friction. And so I had to replace it. So stop saying that if the machine is all metal, it's like never going to be need to be serviced. Okay?
Right.
That's not true.
I don't understand why people come in and say, you know, when people come in and say that and they're so sure about it.
It's all metal. It's going to be fine.
Or even when they come in and say, yes, it's a metal casing and, you know, like a metal
machine.
Okay,
open it up. What's in there? Maybe a nylon gear.
A nylon gear. And metal machines have nylon gears.
Yes.
But the other thing, too, is what I learned in my years of going from a metal sewing machine, selling metal sewing machines to selling plastic sewing machines.
Right.
Correct. is what you find out from the engineers when you go to, you know,
the conferences and whatever.
The conferences and whatever, the trade shows. You know, the engineers are like, we're so happy that we have these, you know, plastic housings now because we can shape them any way we want.
Right, right.
Right? So they can accommodate all of these different features
now. And they can be easier to take apart.
Easier to take apart. If something easier to get to, all this.
I mean, is the bumper on your car metal?
Well, not anymore.
Right. Rubbermaid makes those.
That's right. So the thing is that metal housing isn't particularly preferable when it comes to design or function.
Yes. So I'm just saying, well, we actually had someone post in the group. They opened up what looked like a vintage machine. They're like, oh, my nylon gear cracked.
Right.
You know, and that happens. Things break. Things need serviced.
That's right. Things need
to be serviced. It's
things
okay.
Things wear out.
And metal things, too.
Yes.
And that's the other thing about...
The thing is a metal gear is also not stronger than a nylon gear as far as, like, the needle penetration and all that. It's not true.
I could have bought a nylon gear to replace this, I believe. Oh. Actually, I ended in my KitchenAid. Like, there's an aftermarket part that was a nylon instead of metal.
But it would have been nylon, though, then up against metal?
Yes.
That's not a good
idea. Yeah, so I bought the metal, you know.
Right.
Okay, so I bought the metal gear. And, yeah, I get the new gear, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, not only did I have that, like,
So you could tell the difference
wrong. When I say concave, I mean, like, picture the gear's supposed to be a circle, like a full moon.
Right.
But it looks like we're
it's kind
getting
of
on in the phases.
Something.
No,
yeah.
Somebody took a bite out of
one
it.
One side of it. Oh, I get it.
Okay.
So the was the bite, maybe.
Yeah, the was like, hey, I'm trying to grab onto teeth, and they don't exist, you know? So I did, I bought the replacement gear, and I bought it on Amazon, and it came very quickly. So that was really very wonderful. And we're going to take a short break, and I'm going to come back, and we're going to talk about lube.
ZD, what's your favorite way to measure yourself?
With my Easy Check tape measure.
So tell me a little bit about this.
It's the only way to measure myself, I think.
Why is it so magical?
Well, because there's a slide on it.
Uh-huh.
You actually snap one end of the tape measure into the back of the slide, and then you fit it to the measurement, and then you can unsnap, and the slide remains on the place that you've measured.
So if you're trying to measure your arm.
Right.
Or your underbust.
Right.
Or your
or
thigh.
Or your head.
Or your head. Oh, yeah. The head.
Right.
Definitely.
Well, and, you know, measuring yourself is one thing, but even measuring somebody else, what it does is it marks the spot, basically, where the measurement is. And so if I'm, and this happens to you, that you're measuring somebody and they start talking to you and you're like, was that 21 or 23? Oh, my gosh.
Right.
And where with this, you know, the slide has marked it.
I also have heard feedback from customers who say, I am sending this to my daughter or, you know, so that she can measure my grandchildren.
That's
and it
right.
will be accurate.
Right.
Right?
Well, we've actually had trainers, too.
Yep.
That bought these, you know, for their customers or they themselves use it for their customers or it was a male trainer and a female client. He didn't have to put his hands on the person
right.
or whatever.
Also, this tape measure, when you use it with a snap, it's impossible to work from the wrong side.
That's the other thing.
Yeah.
I was going to say, you can't measure from the 60 end. You have to measure
from the zero end.
Yes. Right. Right. And I said 60, but you know, it also has the millimeters on the other side, too. So you've got...
you have imperial and you have metric.
Metric, right.
And so the Easy Check tape measure makes it very simple when you are trying to measure yourself and you just don't want to be fumbling around.
Well, and I think, you know, the thing is, don't order one. Because if somebody sees it, a husband or a daughter or just a friend, I mean, honestly, at Christmas time, I would put this, like, in almost everybody's stocking stuffer. And I think it's a great thing to, like, send away to college with people, things like that.
Where
you want something measured.
Well, if you're interested in your own Easy Check tape measure, you can see a video on how it works at sewhere.com/tape measure. And you can check it out for yourself.
Sewing out loud.
Hey, y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit DiscoverSouthCarolina.com.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.
Mom's pretending like she's not excited to talk about lube. Whatever. If this was your story, you'd be like, lube, lube, lube.
I just think it's funny you said lube.
All right. Looking this up, it was very clear that... So first of all, when I took this apart, I was like, I'm just going to get some sewing machine oil. Oil this baby. It's going to be fine. No, I need a new gear. I need food safe grease.
Okay, and I think what happened to Mallory with this food safe grease is she called me up and asked me, I was not home, and said, do we have any food safe grease anyplace? And I was with her dad, you know, and I said, do we have any, you know, food safe grease, you know, food grade, I think is what they call it.
It's food safe.
Food safe, okay, food safe grease. And he's like, well, I don't think so, you know. And I think then what happened is later, I said to her, you know, Vaseline is food safe. And I think, like, so did her father.
No.
Didn't a bunch of people start?
Yeah. No. Well, the first thing you said was, like, go out to the garage and get the tractor grease. And it's so funny because one of the YouTubers is like, don't go out to your garage and get your tractor grease. Like, so this grease is held in this housing, but it does need to be food safe because right. It can drip down.
Things happen.
You need to be food safe. And I know Vaseline is food safe. Okay. Yeah, you said it. And then this.
Well, I didn't know you were filling an entire casing.
I know. My printmaking teacher from college, love him.
Did he say the same thing?
He's like, you can use petroleum jelly. I'm like, no, I can't. So here's the deal. Okay.
Well.
Not all lubes are created equal.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yes.
You need different lubricants for different.
Yes.
Different machines in different places machines.
And it has to do with, a lot of times, with, like, heat. Like, if it heats up, sometimes it gets too thin.
There you go.
And it no longer is, you know, lubricating.
Okay, you were talking about gummy. All right.
Yeah.
And so, the grease that I replaced it with, it wasn't gummy, like, for sure.
Right.
It shouldn't be like, oh, it's
smelled
so old,
nice.
You know, or whatever.
Smelled nice, looked nice.
So, yeah. But what the thing about this is part of this mechanism is very vertical.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I know on the Baby Lock Sergers, they have a well where some special
yes.
grease goes.
Yes.
So let's talk about gravity here.
Right.
So the Baby Locks, you really shouldn't. You won't see that
ever, probably.
And it rarely needs to be refilled
right.
if the machine's being used. So this isn't a part of your machine you're going to see a lot of. But that well, so that grease can like sit in that well and it's fine. But this stuff looked like whipped cream,
uh-huh.
Okay? So it was going to be light and fluffy
right.
and not just like
fall off.
Mm-hmm. So that housing that I took off, like it was vertical and I used a spatula to fill it. And when I turned it upside down, the grease didn't run out.
Oh, okay.
It stuck up in there,
yeah.
Okay? So that is important. I believe.
So the viscosity makes
yes,
a difference.
The viscosity was important. And,
right.
you know, the stuff I bought said, like, formulated for KitchenAid mixers. I'm like, cool. And that was the other thing I said to Robert, because he was like, petroleum jelly, this and that. And I was like, dude, I'm going to use the product
the manufacturer
for my $600 mixer.
Which is exactly what you should do.
Yes.
Now, I have used different lubes, as
yeah.
you say, for things that you like. My girlfriend's car door got stuck open one time. Wesson Oil.
Okay.
You know.
And that's, he brought this up. He said, plumbers use petroleum jelly and it can come into contact with food. I was like, I get it. Okay. I don't even know if that's true. But
I am sorry, but I've done a lot of plumbing.
And you've never used petroleum jelly.
And I've never used petroleum
jelly. But I'm
just
saying, I'm not looking for some, I need the viscosity. I need the viscosity.
Right,
I need the stiffness.
And you want the manufacturer's suggestion. And one time when Hillary and I were on vacation and her kids were little, there was a door that kept squeaking and that we were using while they would sleep, they would wake up. And we sprayed it with, it was, you know, olive oil with like rosemary and garlic. And it was in, you know, the atomizer.
It was spray oil.
And it worked. And then the hall smelled like rosemary and garlic the entire time we were there.
So I couldn't just, what if I had like.
But I don't think we ruined the door hinge by using it.
Right. What if I turned that housing upside down and poured olive oil in it and then tried to turn it the right side up and put it, oh, it would have, okay, so it wouldn't work. So you need to use the stuff recommended. Now, a lot, like almost all sewing machines that are manufactured nowadays, like for oiling your needle bar and the bobbin area, you can use light sewing machine oil.
Yeah, not 3-in-1, everybody.
Yeah.
Don't think you can use 3-in-1.
And you can
It'll
use,
come, yep.
Yeah, you can use that. So you need to use the right lube.
Yeah.
And I needed something that was going to stay on the vertical components of this KitchenAid mixer. You know, so that was very important to me. The food safe grease took forever to get here. Okay, so I'm going to buy like another thing of it and forget where I put it.
Yeah, but does it get old?
You know, I don't know. I have a feeling it's some kind of like silicone product. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. However,
oil does go rancid.
Yes, it can. Yeah, absolutely. So I called around though, and I would have had to drive like 30 minutes away to get it. Yeah, to get it. Like no one had it here.
That, you know, that is one thing about the internet. You can get what, you know, you
but
think,
it,
if you can think it, you can find it.
It took a long time and it was over Christmas, like totally my fault. So my advice about this is if you're going to do your KitchenAid mixer, get the grease before you open it up. Now I hesitate to say buy a whole gear situation assembly before opening it all up because you might not need new gears.
You might never need it.
Yeah, you might never need it.
But
a lot of these homesteady people, so if you consider yourself like you're getting on that end of the spectrum, they said that they will replace gears often once a year. It'll be a different gear.
Right.
You know, but they did. So I just want to say that if you do open it up and you're like, oh my gosh, that gear's worn down, don't be surprised.
So here's one of the lessons I think that this should tell you with sewing or any other sort of mechanism you might be using in your hobbies or your home or whatever. We used to have people come in and say, oh, you know, I have the sewing machine and it was my mother's and I know it's in really good shape because she hasn't used it for the last 10 years. That means that the oil has not moved around, okay, on the gears. It means the oil has fallen off of the gears. It also may mean that the oil is old.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, and needs to be cleaned out. You know, many times people would come in and say, I know my mother bought this sewing machine right before she died. She used it 3 times and now it won't even work. Well, the gears were literally locked up.
And that was 20 years ago. Yeah.
Right. They were locked up.
I want to bring this up too. So what I was going to say before you said that is make sure to have your stuff because I had to leave my KitchenAid mixer open on my counter with all the parts in a box top for like 6 days. And then remember how we talked about how the grease that was in there was like shiny? So in this instance, you really need to work to remove all the old grease.
Any debris,
Because debris or, you know,
because
there was debris in the old grease. So all those metal shavings were like traveling around to all the different gears.
Right.
Okay, because they're all turning,
you
know, all the time. And so you really do have to clean all of it out. And it was a lot of fun. The only thing, the worm gear assembly, the videos I found did not always clearly show how to put that back in. And I thought that I knew. I wish I would have, like, taken a few pictures.
Well, I was going to say, yeah. When my father taught me to fix things, right, he was always like, if you're going to take this apart and you're not going to put it right back together again, you need to know the order in which you did this.
Right.
And he would talk about laying things out, like in a box top, baby, or something like that. Do you know what I'm saying? So you could remember how it went back together.
And it all went back together pretty well, but there was like a little tiny orientation issue that I was unsure
of. If you wouldn't have like interrupted me, I could tell have said something about that.
That's
too.
Our deal, Mom. Right? If you didn't know, we interrupt each other.
But now what I'm saying is you can video yourself taking this baby apart or take pictures of it. Mm-hmm. It's like so much easier now.
And definitely it was really covered in grease. So I bought this little can of grease. I'm going to say, so you have a soda can there. It was like a little shorter than a soda can.
So like 6 ounces or something, 8 ounces.
Well, maybe it was four. Maybe So it was maybe four ounces. And I used it all.
Yeah.
I was like, maybe I'll have some left over. Mm-hmm. But I was like, actually, I think I'm supposed to fill this all up with this grease. You know, so what I'm saying is when I opened it up, it was actually hard to see how everything was oriented at first. So now I know, okay, I'm going to, you know, wipe some things away and then look. And so that was different. That is different to me from the parts of the sewing machine that I see most often. They're not just, you know, completely, you can't see them because of the grease, you know, or something like that. But I really
enjoyed.
You
also had someone teach you how to fix a sewing machine.
Yes, I did.
A real life person you could ask questions of.
And I got graded.
That's right.
Yeah. So I was, that was new. I wasn't used to working with parts that were completely obscured by grease. The kids really liked watching me do it. I did put it back together. And I thought it didn't sound right. And it was like that worm gear was oriented
a little bit wrong.
Mm-hmm. And then I put it back together. And I was like, okay, I think it sounds right. But it sounds a little like loud. I don't know. And I looked up. I was like, you know, how's your KitchenAid mixer supposed to sound? And they were like, it's metal gears. It's going to sound kind of
You do hear some. Well, loud. And then you get paranoid. Is it not right?
Derek said, oh, you've got like your technician's ear on now. And so I did think for a minute, I was like, oh, maybe it's not quite right. But I tried it out at different speeds and it sounded very consistent. It was all good. And it was so funny because I really expected it to be dirtier inside the mixer when I opened up, and it wasn't.
It's hermetically sealed, right?
No.
Oh, you mean the other part. You mean the
the gear housing. Okay. I'm sorry. Right. Okay. No, I just meant when I took the cover off the mixer, I was like, oh, there's going to be like ladybugs in here.
I understand. I know what you mean.
But there's like this metal band around it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you know, it's like a little thin metal band. And so actually I was surprised. I thought it would have kind of attracted more dust or flour or something because there is a big, you know, fan belt moving thing in there. But it wasn't. It wasn't super dirty. So I was very grateful for that. But yeah, you got to use the right kind of lube. Don't let somebody on Facebook be like, just use, you know.
Well, and you are talking about going on Facebook. And I think that,
yes,
no,
I am.
Or Facebook or, you know, YouTube. And I have watched many, tutorials.
Mm-hmm.
About many things on YouTube and been grateful and fixed things and got things to work or whatever and figured things out. But there were some where I would go, this dude is not know what he's talking about. It was scary. Do you know what I mean? So I watched more than one.
Yeah, I watched probably like five, I'd say.
Right.
And then on one of them, they didn't show them taking off one of the gears. And I was like, what is wrong? This is so hard.
Right.
Like he just, or you know, he didn't show it. And then one of them, it looked really easy. And so it just, I don't know if maybe the grease had really gotten out of that point, know, so I couldn't lift it up very easily. And then what did Jerry say? He was like, you need a gear plier or something, which I, you know.
What was it called? I forget.
Yeah. Something that helps you take gears out.
Right.
So I didn't have one of those. But when I start up my KitchenAid repair business,
I'll have to get one. Well, tools make a big difference.
Yes.
That's for sure.
Oh, there was
for absolute sure.
Well, there was a very specialty tool that I had to have It was a C-ring plier.
Yeah.
And when I first saw this C-clamp, C-ring thing, I was like, ooh, how do I get that off? And it's got these two little holes in it. And right. then I looked up and people were like, oh, this plier will work.
This little tool works.
And Jerry had some, but they weren't quite. If I started my KitchenAid repair business, I would get like the exact right kind so that it would be super easy. Right. And when I ordered the gear, it came with a new C-ring.
Right.
Because I think you often break them when you take them off.
No, that does happen. Or you bend them and it's or just, they're not, just right. not right. Yeah.
And actually, my old
or
one.
Or you can kind of spring them.
Right. My know? Old one was yeah. fine, but I did just put the new one on because right. I paid for it. So, yeah, it was, you know, things need to be serviced. The KitchenAid mixer was a lot less complex than a sewing machine in many ways. It's only, you know, moving one thing around. You know, the sewing machine's more complex, you know.
I have a story.
Oh, good. We have a podcast. We have advertisers. What's that?
I think it's the computer plug. I just kicked it out
of
the wall.
Oh, great. Cool. Yeah, plug it back
I'm
in.
I'm not in the place I'm used
I
to.
I know. We're in the kitchen.
I don't know how to do this.
Okay, you tell your story. Okay.
So while you were doing that, we were preparing to retile our bathroom, our master bath, correct?
And yes. No, you were out of town because I asked you for
well, right,
stuff.
But we were on our way. Right, but you had to wait all this time for those parts. And in the meantime, yes. I was getting ready to, you know, retile this master bath, okay? Mm-hmm. Which, when I started tearing the tile down, I thought, this is a big, big mistake because we had tiled it 30 years ago. And now we were ripping out this work that was absolutely perfect and it lasted 30 years. So I don't know why we
yeah,
did this.
Why are you even doing that?
You know, if I was younger, I'd say it was hormonal, but I have no idea. Maybe it's ageism. I don't know what it is. So anyway, we get out. We have a tile saw. We get out the tile saw. Not everybody has a tile saw. I understand that too. But we get out the work because we're going to cut ceramic tile.
Yeah.
And what you need is you need a wet saw. You need a diamond blade and a wet saw. And all a wet saw is a saw that has a water source that, you know, spits onto the blade or right. flows onto the blade while you're losing it. It's so, because it gets hot.
Yeah, so it's cooling it.
It's all it's doing.
Yeah, it's cooling it down.
It's really all it's doing is cooling it down. So it is Christmas Eve at 4:10, because we always do these things on holidays.
Yeah, right.
And we plug in the saw, and it works, but the pump does not work.
Oh, no.
That's okay. So I look, you know, my husband looks at the pump, and he's like, maybe I can take this off and fix it. And I'm like, doesn't that just look like a little fountain pump or something? And he's like, yeah, I think that's probably what it is. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, I got on the internet as fast as I could, right? And searched fountain pump.
Yeah.
Yep. And they were in town. Mm-hmm. People had them. Uh-huh. Some places you had to order them online. Like Walmart, I had to order it online.
Yeah.
But Harbor Freight, which is a
discount tool supplier.
Had one for $12.99, which is kind of what I expected it to be, like less than $20. So I kind of thought maybe it was the right thing, right? I call them up quickly and I say, how late are you open? Because it's now like right. 4:26 or something, right? And they're like, till 5 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, Jerry, you know, get in the car, go get this pump. They say they have it. And I think I can make this work. So yeah. Anyway, we got it to work. I put this pump, okay, onto the saw. Then we finish cutting that night, right?
Uh-huh.
And I say, hey, I'm going to clean that pump out. And he says, oh, it's fine. You know, it's sitting there in the water. So what this little pump, because it's a fountain pump, this right. will make sense to everybody, I think. It sits in the pan of water, mm-hmm. like under the blade.
Right.
You know, and then there's, you know, a tubing that connects like over the housing of the blade, you know, and it squirts onto the blade. Okay. So it's sitting in water
right.
the whole time. Fountain pump. That's mm-hmm. what a fountain pump does. Okay. So I said, I'm going to clean that out, you know, before we finish it. He's, oh, it'll be fine. Right. You know, it's sitting in the water. Next day, oh, the pump's not working. I said, hand it to me. Okay.
You got
to
clean your stuff. You got to lube your stuff.
I cleaned the thing out, okay?
Yeah.
I cleaned it out. And, of course, there's all of, you know, basically dust, ceramic dust.
Right.
You know, this almost turned into clay again because it's with this water. And we were cutting a lot of tile, okay? So, anyway, got that out, cleaned it out with a toothbrush and some water, stuck it back on there, and yes.
And it worked.
It worked again.
So, you got to clean your stuff. You got to lube your stuff with the right lube.
Right.
And, you know, take this into your sewing room, too.
You wouldn't work well.
No.
If you were dehydrated and not cleaned
and
up.
And dirty.
Yeah.
Who likes being dehydrated and
That's
dirty?
Right.
Right. Go take a shower and drink some water,
everybody.
It's
easy to work if you feel refreshed and clean and hydrated.
Okay, ZD, take it away.
So long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit sewhere.com.